Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
We're back on the road this April with our live show, Cocaine Cowboys. If you want to hear the story of Ireland's love affair with Colombian powder and those who made millions in the gold rush, join us in Galway's Town Hall Theatre on Saturday, 6th of April, Killarney's INEC on Saturday, the 13th of April, and in Belfast's Waterfront Studios on Saturday, the 27th of April. Tickets from venues or at mcd.ie.
It seems that there was some interaction with people based in this country, with a Dublin organised crime group. The guards seem to have picked up something was happening. They've been in contact with Interpol and other agencies that are involved in monitoring international drugs trafficking. We've had reports of a number of people that have qualifications as divers. They could have been there to recover cocaine that basically sank off the coast of Cork.
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you're listening to Crime World, a podcast about criminals, drugs and the sins of the underworld in Ireland and across the globe. A suspected drugs gang with possible links to Hezbollah militants remain in custody as Gardaí continue to investigate an alleged drugs plot off the West Cork coast. Detectives had been secretly monitoring professional divers, logistics operators and two Dutch passport holders with Iranian links before they moved in to make arrests. But with no cocaine found during the operation and time running out on the arrests, what will happen next in the latest international drug investigation centred on the Irish coastline? Today, I'm talking with Niall Donald about cocaine and the significance of Ireland as a key landing point for drugs. This is Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com. So, I'm just going to start with something, little crime of your own, because you knew how tired I was before I went on my little hollybops there and yeah. You took total advantage of me. I'm feeling a little bit brighter now and more able for it.
So what did I do that was so bad?
We're not going to discuss it again because we're not going to give you another opportunity to have a go. Took a week off and did really boring things that you might enjoy yourself, like fixing the garden up for the summer.
Very good.
Going for walks with the dog and generally getting to bed early. I was so tired.
Yeah.
So I started Googling like burnout and all that sort of stuff. Everyone has burnout now, apparently.
They do.
Though.
But you enjoyed your downtime, or did you really find that you don't actually enjoy not being busy all the time?
No, I actually did really enjoy it. Yeah. Sometimes I get bored.
Yeah.
Well, as you know, I get bored really easily. I didn't get bored once.
Yeah. No, I think you definitely need a couple of weeks off sometimes because, if you're living on adrenaline, it is tough, you know? And you can't even, so you're back to your bullying best.
I'm back to my bullying best. And the only thing that nearly dragged me back, I was going to text you and say, look, I'll come in and do that, was what we're going to talk about today, and sure, didn't it wait?
Exactly, because I knew...
Were you tempted to contact me?
But historically, for people who haven't listened the whole way through, anytime you take a holiday, the biggest crime stories break.
Yeah.
We've had like the Kinahans, the famous press conference you were all for that. Jerry Hutch being arrested in Spain you were off for.
Yeah.
So I just presumed...
But I always came on Zoom across the continent, wherever I was.
Which was never in Ireland or in the studio. So yeah, when the news broke that 10 people had been arrested in this, what, you know, this operation targeting a suspected cocaine international operation, I thought it could be the big one.
But. I know. I had to kind of pull myself away from it. Now, of course, I was getting certain messages and texts, little bits of information, which we'll talk about now, about what we know about it. But, I mean, a phenomenal story. And, you know, they seem to be coming fast and furious, a lot of what's happening along our coastline. We're going to go back over a few of those things now. But, obviously, we had Kerry and the discovery of meth in Cork Port. We had was it December last year? Was it January this? The MV Matthew.
Last year.
That was last year. The MV Matthew with the 2 ton of cocaine transported by the Clan del Golfo. And, you know, historically, it's interesting that, you know, we're back having taken a little bit of downtime like any good hitman. We're back on the road with the Cocaine Cowboy show. Yeah. And of course, that delves back into a lot of what was the big time start of cocaine arriving into the country. And it is still concentrated all in those same areas.
100%. I mean, like the absolute difference, the only massive difference is the technology involved.
Yeah.
The actual method of landing big shipments of cocaine off a relatively not densely populated part of Western Europe is the same. That coastline along the Atlantic is just a prime place to land cocaine. And all that's changed is we now have GPS trackers and we have, you know, various other pieces of technology that simply didn't exist back in the day.
Do you know, I'm going to bring you back even further, because just before we came on air there, I was telling you that I might do something up for you about this Tracks and Trails show that I did last summer. So last summer, this production company that make this Tracks and Trails show, which is into its 11th season on RTE, nice kind of a show. They just get somebody to do these...
Big time celebrities.
I was going to say just props. I was going to call myself a prop there. But they ask people to come and do walks with them. And then you kind of... So I just thought that's so outside anything I normally do. I'll do it. So I was brought to Waterford and did two walks. One of them was this kind of hill walk in the Cumra Mountains. I hate hill walking.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a big fan of going uphill, but I do appreciate why people do it, because when you get to the top, the view is phenomenal. Like, it's beautiful. And the other one was this kind of walk, which was much more my scene, across the coastline from Dunmore East, I think, to Tramore.
Yeah.
Just like a cliff walk. And on that one, I met up with this local historian called Michael O'Donoghue. And we were sort of like along the Waterford coast, looking out at the sea, and it's all very rugged. And it's not unlike that Hoth walk, if you ever do that.
I have, yeah.
Or the Bray to Greystones walk.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was discussing kind of like the history of smuggling in the area and going way back to when it was illegal to have masses.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't celebrate the Catholic religion and all the rest of it. So in those days, what they used to smuggle in on the boats was Bibles.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because they weren't allowed them. And then obviously as time went on, they used to smuggle wine and beer and all this sort of stuff. And a lot of the local seamen or fishermen would go out to meet the bigger boats and they'd bring the stuff in. And it just struck me, you know, nothing has changed and everything has.
Yeah.
Nothing has changed in the fact that humankind want what they're not allowed.
Yeah.
And that's what becomes a smugglable commodity and valuable commodity. Nothing has changed in that we're still using shipping. We're still using those coastal, those small little craggy rocks and you know, beaches to land the stuff. But everything has changed regarding the technology. And I think in West Cork, when we're looking at these, you know, divers, we're looking at all the navigation equipment, that cocaine, if landed, was wrapped in highly, you know, waterproof materials. There was probably GPSs on it, etc., etc. So I suppose let's start with what happened.
Yeah, I mean, what happened basically was that 10 people were arrested by Gardaí last week
there was a camper van was stopped and a truck.
In a place called Leap, is that right?
Yes. And what basically they're and it's what's described as an intelligence-led operation. So the guards have been monitoring a number of these suspected gang members over a number of weeks. At least two of them had been in Ireland for a couple of weeks in advance. Others had flown in towards the end of that week. A rib boat, you know what that stands for, do you?
Yeah, it's a rigid, it's one of those sort of semi-inflatable. Now, they're very high-powered boats with very high-powered engines on the back of them. They're good for going from coast out to meet boats. They've, yeah. They're sort of, the bottom of them is hard, I suppose, and then yeah. The sides of them is, well, not blown up like a dinghy, you'd be,
yeah,
you know.
But they're basically, they can be inflated and yeah. Made bigger. But so that boat that they suspect was going to be used had been imported into the country. The 10 people that were arrested, out of them, there was a number of nationalities involved, including a couple of Dutch people, you know, and at least one of the 10 men that was arrested is a known gangland criminal. there was also people with links to Iran.
Well, they were the two Dutch.
Dutch
because
Iranian.
While they were holding passports, yeah. They were Iranian. And that is really, I suppose, one of the most significant points of this operation, because we do know, and we've spoken about it before, how the Kinahan top command still in Dubai, Daniel Kinahan, obviously under the biggest pressure of the three, the father and the two sons. But nonetheless, we know that they are operating as fixers for Iranian and Russian regimes. They yeah. Are the go-between between the Colombian cocaine dealers and the regimes, who are essentially needing to import cocaine into Europe to finance their wars against the West.
Yeah, I mean, there's very complicated bits to this, but there is a logistical network, and you can see it made up again and again of, you know, people, including people from Iran, including a number of people from Eastern Europe. And again, all those nationalities match up. Now, what we know at this point about them is those 10 people remain in custody. They were arrested under anti-gangland legislation, which means, unlike under arrests, the guards can get significant extensions. They can get question them for up to a week. They initially went to court and got a 3-day extension. They got a further extension at the start of this week. And at some point, they'll either have to be charged or released. What has happened is that from the intelligence has obviously built up over a period of time. It seems that there was some interaction with people based in this country, with a Dublin organised crime group, and the course of monitoring them, the guards seem to have picked up something was happening. They've then been in contact with Interpol and other agencies that are involved in monitoring international drugs trafficking. How this all plays out, no doubt, is very complicated. But these 10 people were arrested. They included, we've had reports of a number of people that have qualifications as divers, and that has led to the suspicion that they could have been there to recover cocaine that was basically sank off the coast of Cork. Like, the obvious advantage of
dropped
that,
off, yeah.
Yeah, the obvious advantage of that is that it's, you know, it's hidden from people picking it up, basically, rather than throwing it in the sea and collecting it that way. Also, it's very hard for law enforcement to detect it. So that was one of the suspicions. Obviously, the operation was based on the fact that a truck was seen reversing towards a beach, and that was believed that truck could have been there to collect cocaine. No cocaine, obviously, at this point, has been recovered.
So, yeah, and I wanted to dig in a little bit into the what we call the intelligence-led operation and what intelligence actually is, for those who hear the word and don't understand that essentially it's the science of ratting.
Well, it is.
So intelligence is picked up in a number of ways, right? Either there is somebody, they do have somebody who is giving information to law enforcement, yep. Which can happen at anywhere yep. Across the world. I mean, if you look at that multinational operation, and of course the cocaine has to come from somewhere. Intelligence is also garnered off technical equipment, you know, yep. Listening into phones, yep. Bugging cars and all the rest of it. What I thought of when looking at the information about this West Cork operation was one thing, that the intelligence is localized, yeah. 100%. Yeah. And it's interesting you say that, that it could have been picked up off some, you know, possibly other operations that were going on in the Dublin area. Because I think what stands out about this is the fact that the Gardaí and law enforcement across Europe don't seem to know where the ship is, what the ship was, where it could be headed for. I mean, they seem to be scanning the high seas in order to try and examine traffic. The Irish Navy and the Air Force have been drafted in to, the Air Corps have been drafted in to do what they can do. And MAOC, the Lisbon-based sort of International Sea Police of Europe. They have been also drafted in. They're looking at shipping records. They're looking to see what boats may have left Venezuela, Colombia, and made its way across the Atlantic and maybe come near the Irish shoreline. So yeah, that tells us that the intelligence that this was happening, that this operation was happening, was coming from the ground, from people who didn't know the details of the ship and didn't know the details of where it was coming from.
Exactly, because, you know, a lot of these drug organizations, all of these drug organizations, actually, be safe to say, they try and compartmentalize the information that they give out. Presumably there's somebody somewhere who knows every cough and split of this organization or this planned smuggling plot, but most of the people just know their little section. You'll be here at this time to collect this, or whatever. So there's definitely seems to be a look at whether some of the logistics of moving that involved Irish-based criminals, and was other people maybe involved in the movement of something when it arrived.
There was one of the individuals involved who was arrested. I think the only Irish arrest was what I believe to be an individual from Armagh. I note that it was reported that it was from Fermanagh. A haulier is my understanding of who that is. And that individual would have had to have been sourced here in the country, more than likely. Perhaps that's where the, you know, communications risk happened. Because we do know that certainly we have along the border some significant hauliers who are working for all sorts of drug operations, who are moving cash out of this country, moving drugs in. They have been operating for drug gangs, largely, I suppose, initially in Ireland, and as they become international, that way inclined. There was two vehicles, a camper van and an articulated lorry. And the lorry was clearly for the removal of the rib boat and the transport of it. Those rib boats, by the way, are probably costing about 100,000. The divers, their expertise, we've no idea what any of these people were being paid, but you can be guaranteed for them to come in and take a risk. They are being paid a lot of money. So we can assume that this is not a small amount of cocaine that was going to be landed in this fashion. This was a multi-tonnage plot.
Yes, and not to supply cocaine to Ireland, to use Ireland as a staging post to move cocaine into Europe as a landmass. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing again and again over the last 12 months and presumably long before that, that Ireland has, if it's not always been, has certainly been a staging post to while a certain amount of drugs have come from places like Holland and Belgium and seeped back to Ireland through trucking and things like that. Ireland is also becoming a staging post to move drugs into the rest of Europe, or has always been, maybe.
No, it has always been 100%. Yeah. And I mean, geographically, if you just look at the map and you draw a straight line from South America's across to Europe, you do kind of skim off our southern coastline.
Yeah.
We're an island, so if you can get it as far as here, you have a greater chance then of breaking it up into smaller amounts to transport it onwards through a number of ferry routes that we have. We have Rosslare, we have Dublin, we have Belfast, which is a long forgotten means of transport to the mainland in the UK. And obviously from there, it breaks again. And
I mean, also we have a big, long coastline, obviously for the size of the country, an island. We don't have, we're not a very militarized country either. I mean, if you compare us to the UK, we still have a very big navy. you know, have a lot of ships. Like Ireland is much more, like we're a neutral country without that sort of military
force. I think the sea is too big to be patrolling it and to get lucky, to be honest with you. I don't think that's a logical way of policing your coastline.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the successes have usually come intelligence driven, and that's the same as stuff is being transported into the large ports of Antwerp and Rotterdam and all the rest of it. The big seizures are coming from intel, be it off the phones or be it from human intelligence sources, which exist and who are out there, you know, in gangs. But I wanted to just go back to the more recent, we'll just briefly touch on the more recent seizure of the meth.
Yeah.
Did that come back from the labs?
That came back from the labs and is confirmed to be crystal meth.
Crystal meth, yeah.
That's been said in court at this point.
And just a matter of interest, and hopefully I missed it last week and not a week that I was actually working, but was that shipped from, did they work out where that container had come from? Had it come from South America and been offloaded into Cork, and was it headed onwards to Australia? How does that work? Or was it, because there was some suggestion at the time that perhaps the crystal meth could have been made in this country and was being shipped on to Australia?
But that hasn't been made clear in court, absolutely not. But there's
an intriguing part of it, and will be.
I mean, it was said in court that it is believed that the aim was for those drugs to be moved on to Australia.
Mm.
So, I mean, that tells its own tale, I suppose, of Ireland, not just as a landing post, but as also as a staging post for drug shipments.
Massively popular drug in Australia, not something used very much here, maybe a little bit on the street, poly drug users. And, you know, I'm sure people do use crystal meth here for recreational purposes, but it's certainly not something that we're tripping over.
Yeah.
Small enough market for it here. Australia, New Zealand, massive. I've spoken to colleagues out there in the past, and maybe it's time to, you know, reach out to them again. But very much it's directed and managed over there by biker gangs, very violent biker gangs. And it has been, it's their heroin, I think, you know, or cocaine nearly.
It's the most
popular drug used in Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah, there was obviously the drug culture in Australia was different because, you know, Australia really is out in the middle of nowhere in terms of the you know, its geographical location. And those routes of smuggling cocaine just didn't develop. So there was a history of importing meth from places in Asia.
Yeah.
And that's just a historical sort of reality of it, you know. Though I think that has changed again now, and cocaine has become much more widely available.
Now, there was a suggestion that, something went wrong, by the way, in West Cork.
Yeah.
Something went wrong. And also, you know, you would question with the kind of military scale of what they were doing, has it already happened a number of times before if the drugs come in this way? Obviously, part of the investigation would be looking back on all these individuals to see what they're, you know, have they been in this country before, when have they been, etc., and what have been their activities. But often the weather can screw things up in an otherwise perfect plot. I mean, the MV Matthew and what happened on that remains to be seen. That was last September, see how the months fly.
Yeah.
The MV Matthew coming from Caraco in late August and sailed along Venezuela before heading from Guyana, which was probably where it was loaded with the cocaine and made its way across. And the MV Matthew kind of entered Irish waters and appeared to be heading for Belfast, but did a sort of a dramatic U-turn. There was some bad weather. A fishing vessel went into a sandbank off Wexford, and the captain had made an SOS call. He was unwell and had to be airlifted off it. And that was all before the boat was boarded by the Navy and 2 tons of cocaine was found aboard. Now, there's people before the courts in relation to that, and they will be able to give their version of events. But we do know that those drugs were coming from the Clan del Golfo, that the 2 tons was a tenth of what that cartel ships into Europe every month. Had something worked before in the Irish coast? Had they previously, you know, had it just been smoother?
Yeah.
We can only presume that. it'd be damn unlucky if the very first time they tried to do it, they came a cropper because the weather was bad or something.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you've seen these seizures in Ireland over the last 12 months, you have to think that a lot of them have gone on over the last decade, for example, where there's been big gaps between what has been discovered. In this case, it's not clear what happened. It certainly, there is a suggestion that very bad weather meant that handover that was expected didn't occur. Obviously, no cocaine has been recovered at this point. So there's a couple of theories going on. One, that bad weather, that the rib went out there, but they couldn't. Obviously, those handovers are quite technical and quite difficult to do mid-sea, to hand over large packages of very valuable material.
Why would they have had the divers if they were just going to do it that simply?
Well, exactly. So, but I mean, these people could be involved in, they could have that qualification anyway, and that could be a coincidence. They could be seamen who have that that qualification anyway. There's also obviously the theory that we've discussed that cocaine was submerged and has yet to be recovered, and that was about to happen. So it's not fully clear. What is clear is that the extent of devices that have been seized, in terms of mobile phones, other records, and that's really going to be a key feature in if there's any prosecutions or even if there's charges brought against the men that have been arrested. So it's, as we said, it's going to be a real jigsaw putting it together. And you could see in the MV Matthew as well, where obviously people are charged, but behind all that, there's been a huge guard investigation into the registration of the ship, its movements. It's, was ultimately registered in Dubai in the MV Matthew case. So there's these real complex investigations go in to discover the backstory after. So there is a kind of a race against time in terms of charging any of these 10 men or releasing them, and that'll occur over the next short period of time.
How many years ago was 2007? I've been trying to calculate that. 17
years.
Sure?
Pretty sure, yeah.
Okay. So my next statement is going to be, this time 17 years ago, there was a ship called the Lucky Day that was making its way to the coast of Cork.
Yeah.
To land a amount of cocaine, which had it reached the market, would have been worth 500 million.
Yeah.
It had been bought, the cocaine, for about $2 million. And of course, weather was blamed on that catastrophic cocaine plot that resulted in the arrest and jailing of a number of men, including Martin Wandon, Joe Daly, his brother Michael Daly, Gerard Hagen, and others that had plotted to do similar to what we're talking about. In this case, they bought a boat in Florida. They filled it with cocaine. They got two Lithuanian crew members and a skipper to sail it across the seas to Ireland. They had a prearranged navigational point 30 kilometres off the coast of West Cork. Martin Wandon took a rib boat out to meet it, and in what was unseasonably bad weather, they transferred the load of cocaine onto the rib boat. He was an expert seaman who had been hired from the UK. He was a friend of the sort of the director of operations, and he managed to steer that boat in a storm out to sea to collect the cocaine and to make it back 1 kilometre from the landing point, at which point the petrol put into the diesel engine that his co-accused had fucked up managed to stop the boat working, and it stopped out at sea and sank.
Yeah.
And he ended up with the cocaine floating around him. A very famous story, and one which was the influence over the Young Offenders movie, of course, which was focused on that storyline and the idea that one bale of cocaine didn't make it into the Garda custody. But it just shows that these plots have been around for a long time, that all sorts of individuals dive into the cocaine market to get rich quick.
Yeah.
In the end of the day, if you land that kind of amount of cocaine, you would think that you're in the money for the rest of your days, depending on your lifestyle, of course. But
well, it's kind of like winning the lotto, isn't it? I mean, it's
if it all works out, it
if
is.
It all works out. Of course, if you don't win, if your lotto numbers don't come up, you don't get to spend. I mean, what there was sentences of up to 30 years given in that case, wasn't there?
There was, and you know, there was more that followed that. I mean, that was back then. There was more that preceded that. Especially again down along those rugged coastlines. And interestingly, when these cases come to court and they go through the rigors and people plead not guilty and they have a defence and their stories come out, what you find is a lot of characters that are involved in, you know, seafaring in one way or another. Perhaps they're yachtsmen who work around the world. Perhaps they owned boats themselves and a storm has come and their boat has been destroyed, or, you know, perhaps they have a gambling addiction or something. But one way or another, they need to make quick money and a lot of it. And they agree to these, you know, sails across the Atlantic or whatever it is. They're professionals. They're probably not the kind of people who are going to go out there with a gun and kill somebody else.
No, they're not. Nor are they out there debt collecting for people who didn't pay them money for drugs. These are really kind of adventurers, and that's probably how they ended up working in
chancers as well. And I mean, they're they've been given an opportunity. They know risk comes with it. And really, they're the ones who carry the can. In the end, most of the directors and the investors remain out there at that level above where a lot of time law enforcement can get at them. So what you end up having is these sort of yachtsmen and, you know, people who've fallen on hard times getting these huge, big, long sentences if they don't plead guilty. Yeah. If they do, they might get a shorter sentence. But one way or another, they're thrown in jail, which is a place that's as alien to them as it would be to you or I.
Yeah, I mean, look, these are professional people, I suppose. They probably ended up in that the world of seafaring, probably have an adventurous spirit and a bit of risk-taking anyway. That's probably what attracts people to that type of job. Mm-hmm. But then it just goes that bit too far. But I mean, there was huge consequences for all of those guys, as we spoke about. There is the mystery men, the brokers, really.
I think in this case that the most excitement is about the two Dutch passport holders and their role, because they seem to be the most senior people involved in this plot. And their links to Iran, obviously, are very, very significant. And again, I think when you catch somebody in the act of what it's suspected of, because, you know, by the looks of it, if there's no drugs, are they all going to be released?
Well, they've been charged for a swim. No, you can't be charged for having a swim, but you can be charged for conspiracy. Absolutely. So, and look,
is there charges for conspiracy without the product at the end of it?
Well, I mean, I don't.
It'll remain to be seen at the end of the week. We'll come back to that at the end of the week, because to me, I don't know what they'd have on them if they don't have cocaine or any illegal substance. But we'll wait and see.
We'll come back to it.
But yes, those two. And I suppose one way or another, what those arrests will do is give Gardaí and their international colleagues a piece of a jigsaw, and they will go and then they will look into the background of all these people.
There'll be a wealth of information out of that, no matter what.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay, well look, let's leave that for the moment, and I guarantee you we'll be talking about this before Saturday.
We will.
Glad to be back.
Are you?
No.
You've been listening to Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com. Produced by Ian Mullaney and edited by me, Nicola Tallant. Research assistant is Clodagh Meaney. If you like this show and love true crime, leave us a review. Or why not download the free SundayWorld.com app for lots more stories from Ireland and across the globe.
Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.